It will, whatever it is, we know that, so okay. That's pretty good. I'm all set here. All right. Let me know when we're on, okay? Okay. Because I can't see the clock from here, so just give me a point or something.
Yeah. Now would be about the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, of course, the biggest news in La Crosse is, of course, Gunderson Lutheran Medical Center is now Gunderson Presbyterian. They're trying to attract a better class of patient. You know, the ones that can pay. Well, what do you know?
Live from the Fine Arts Center at the lovely Viterbo University in La Crosse, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, Dustin Hackworth on drums. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, Congressman Ron Kind, all the news that isn't, and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by Radisson Hotel La Crosse and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, it's the June Fly Man, Michael Feldman.
Did you say Jew fly?
I did, yep.
Jew fly?
Oh, I did not say that. I said
the Jew fly, man?
April, May, June fly.
Oh, okay,
June fly.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A little sensitive sometimes, you know. Okay. Well, okay, so yeah, this Gunderson Lutheran thing has got everyone pretty shook up, I bet, huh? Why they want to drop the Lutheran? What's the deal with that? Lutherans are feeling pretty bad about it. After all, the word doesn't come up that often in common usage, you know. You don't hear, that's very Lutheran of you, for example. Or don't try to Lutheran somebody down, you know. No, you don't ever hear that. I never heard that. Did you ever hear that? Because you know they're not going to budge, so no point for that saying. So no point in changing Lutherans in midstream, you know. It just doesn't occur. And yet Gunderson has changed in midstream. They did consider a lot of options, of course. Gunderstein, Jewish doctors. Gunderstein Jewish Doctors, LLC, I thought was a good one. Gunderson Islamic Medical Center. Gunderson Whatever Medical Center. Acme Medical Center, because it'd be first in the listings, you know. Hold the Mayo Clinic, I thought was a good idea. And their new motto, you know, same great service, but without the Lutherans. I don't get it. Kind of shocking to a lot of people, mostly Lutherans, of course. I mean, would you take the Franciscan out of Franciscan Skemp? I don't think so. That's just Skemp. Doesn't read. Gunderson also is trying to go energy as well as Lutheran independent. Some people, mostly Lutherans, think it's a power grab. Eventually, of course, we'll see the independent state of Gunderson Coulee. They're already seeking vouchers from the Walker administration.
Vouchers! Vouchers for all!
I promise you a voucher. Some people, mostly Lutheran, of course, think they're tilting at windmills out there. I don't know. What does this here say? Oh, yes. And now they're going to tap cows for energy. You know, they're going to... They have the rights, apparently, to all the methane emitted by all the cows in Wisconsin. I don't know how they swung that deal. That would make them the United Gunderson Emirates of energy. Okay, I'm through. In other La Crosse and Onalaska news that isn't, La Crosse police compromised their case by confusing the Get Money Boys with the Get Mommy Boys. So they had to throw it out. Fire at Organic Valley shows them organic shirkin burn. Oh. Some hope that if Willie Nelson's bus arrives during the Mayfly hatch, they can smoke him out. I mean, can you imagine being on the Willie Nelson bus if they pull into that swarm, you know, and you don't want to be high when that's going on. I mean, that's... Thank you. Thank you, whoever giggles at me. Governor Walker was here on the steps of the UW La Crosse's main hall, announcing it's for sale. It's going condo conversion by private market forces. That's the way we like it. The good news is there will be condo vouchers. So, 20 more surveillance cameras installed in La Crosse to keep an eye on the other 20 they already got. The only trouble with all the surveillance cameras is they're attracting a lot of American Idol wannabes, you know. Kind of defeats the purpose. Mocking the view. Anyone seeing the mini-me mayor of La Crosse is asked to call his dad, Mayor Tim. Who's worried about him? With the success of the drone program, the Obama administration is looking into weaponized mayflies. The Onalaska student found hiding in the high school says he just wanted to be first in the lunch line because they run out of tots. Many in the Driftless area, mostly Lutherans, report feeling listless and unable to sediment. I don't know. Not guaranteed. These are not guaranteed. They don't come with a guarantee. Researchers now believe that the mayfly swarm is attracted to the overflow from the Third Street tappers. Draws, they breed in that pretty good. As do the rest of us, I might say. This year they're experimenting by stocking 10 billion trout to leap at the mayflies during the swarm, so that should be interesting. The worry is they will attract a swarm of trout fishermen, with almost even worse than mayflies. Especially bad because no trout fisherman likes being next to another trout fisherman. You know, they could be on a dam with 500 guys and they all think they're there alone. You know, these trout guys are like that. So that'd be terrible. That's just a side. That's an editorial. I don't do many fish editorials, but that's one. And those bass boats. What about that? Okay, never mind. On an all-night session at the Capitol in Madison, the Kringle has made Wisconsin state pastry. In the middle of the night. That's the kind of thing they do in the middle of the night there in the state capitol. There will be Kringle vouchers, of course. The redesigned Theater Road intersection in Onalaska will have no Mayo Clinic exit, so patients will pretty much have to use the Gunnarsson, formerly Lutheran, facility. So that's a good thing. In Winona, the Trinona has been expanded to a Quadnona, and they're looking at a Sonknona next year. Over in Sparta, Lady Butterfest is all greased up for the big weekend. Are you going then? Yeah? You going? Cool. What does this mean? Are there mayflies in here? Are you? Who did? What? What? Is she here? Lady Butterfest? No, she's got to be there greasing up now. Lord Butterfest, however, has had to go oleo this year due to health concerns. So, the town of Onalaska wants to be a village, although many people, mostly Lutheran, feel that that could be a step backwards. You know. They're already a town, they go to a village. Isn't a village, you know, village is only one step ahead of shtetl or ghetto. Be the ghetto of Onalaska. It doesn't sound good. Holman has refused to take its troops out of Apostolic Life Church in a bold annexation attempt. This is pretty inside stuff. So if you don't get it, don't worry about it. Ask somebody on the way home or stop somebody and say, drive to Holman and ask them about it. Highway 35 is now the DMZ because of annexation hostilities. Asked why Oktoberfest is held in September, the board of directors would only say, why do mayflies come in July? No one dared ask why it's a K and not a C in Oktoberfest. Answers like that is why. Be a shorter festival, but Miss Oktoberfest will be more robust this year. That's what I read. I don't know. I might have quoted them wrong, but that's, I think, what they said. La Crosse's Company B Civil War reenactors will update to the Vietnam War in 2014, and they are looking for Viet Cong volunteers. Okay. Let's see here. I can't read through the tears. Gunderson, it says here, Gunderson, formerly Lutheran, corners of the breast milk market, gets listed on the commodities exchange, where breast milk closed higher. They're in every aspect of our lives now. Gunderson, formerly Lutheran. Oh, very nice drawing. Who is that? Oh, a caricature, okay. Well, maybe a little in a second or two. Yeah, don't go anywhere. Caricature, okay. I'm already a caricature. What do I need that? Increase in gas prices finds more people trying to coast across the bridges to Minnesota on a quick trip. And finally, and I mean that, Onalaska initiates the new Gay Line bus service to La Crescent for the abundant same-sex marriage chapels in the orchard. And that's all the news that is in for La Crosse, Onalaska, and parks around. Thank you very much. Thank you, La Crosse. Beautiful. We're in beautiful Viterbo Fine Arts Center. Great to be here. And I've never yet to meet the nuns, actually, though, because I guess they're always praying. So and you don't want to, you know, bust in and say, hey, Mike Feldman. excuse me, you know, because it's perpetual prayer. So, you know. Jew interrupts perpetual prayer going on since 1873. You know, I don't need that kind of. Okay. Ron Kind is your congressman. Did you know that? Oh, you knew that. Okay. Well, he's here with us right now, congressman. The Honorable Ron Kind, ladies and gentlemen. There he is. Your Honorable, how are you? Okay.
Hello, Michael.
Whoa.
Welcome to God's country.
Thank you very much.
Is
Heilman still here or not?
Heilman's still in all their glory. Yeah. Well, it's City Brewery now. It's not Heilman's.
Yeah, I know.
But... A lot of local partners have made it work, and they're going gangbusters.
Well, you start right, you hit the ground running, don't you?
Well, it's important to the local economy. We're doing what we can to promote jobs.
Jobs. Put it in a pamphlet, will you? Put it in a pamphlet, hand it out in the park. Are you good?
Yeah, we're doing great.
Yeah. Shouldn't you be in Washington, D.C.?
Probably. Yeah. You probably should be. What,
is
trying anything, to get something done.
Anything going on there now, or are they another recesses?
Well, no. We're back this weekend, but I'll be heading back again first thing next week.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do they, hold votes when you're gone?
Well, they tend to hold down the fort. There's been a few controversies lately, so it's more fun to be back home, actually, than in Washington these days.
Well, I did an exhaustive check of your record, Ron Kind.
Uh-oh. And I did yours too, Michael.
No.
So did the NSA.
I don't have Verizon. I'm not worried. Yeah. I mean, of course, your record as a quarterback at Harvard.
Yeah, that's right.
And I checked the records here. Now, it was what, 81, 84?
81 to 84.
Okay.
Those are, the glory years, as they call it.
You claim to be a quarterback at Harvard, 81, 84.
That's right.
Okay, I'm looking at, these are the Harvard Crimson career passing leaders since 1970.
Yeah.
You're not on the list.
Yeah.
not only are you not on the list, but Matt Simpson, who's number 11, had a total of 9 yards passing.
That's right. He was a little before my time.
Okay, but shouldn't you... Yeah, did you throw less than 9 yards in total yardage? Or?
I threw a lot, but unfortunately my career ended early my junior year.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, with a career-ending injury.
It did?
It's a physical sport, yeah.
Okay. But they tackle you? Big deal.
Yeah, well, yeah, they played mean, Michael, in Dartmouth.
Yeah. up in New Hampshire.
You got beat? You got tackled by Dartmouth, and you didn't get up again?
I'm not proud of this aspect of my career, but... Yeah. You had to see the defensive lineman, and he was scary, and he did a number on my left shoulder.
They get very scary guys at Dartmouth.
That's right.
So your
my problem, though, is I was colorblind, so I tended to throw to the other team. So I hope that's not on your record sheet, too.
Well, I'll fill it in here. What was your total yardage? You happen to know offhand? Passing yardage?
When I was playing, freshmen weren't allowed to play on the varsity, so I was starting quarterback on the freshman team. And so we lit it up, and we were undefeated. We beat Yale, which is the game, as you know.
Yeah, okay.
And then, unfortunately, as I was playing, moving up the ranks.
So you have no record as a quarterback.
Well, not only had no record, but Doug Flutie was playing at Boston College at the time, too. So guess who got all the headlines.
Okay. But you ran for some yards, didn't you?
Yeah, we were running all the time. Yeah. Usually backwards for
backwards,
my life.
Backwards, okay. Yeah. All right. We'll let that go then.
Right.
So here's this. Percentage of American public who say random choices from the phone book would be better than current congressmen.
Okay. All right.
Care to guess what that percentage is?
I would imagine it's pretty high.
Yeah. It's 43%. Surprisingly low, actually, I think.
Okay.
So...
You'd like to see it much higher.
But yet, you know, like 12% of Americans think Congress is doing a good job, something like that.
Yeah.
But like
we're underperforming.
Almost half like their own congressman.
Yeah, that's a strange anomaly, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Not you necessarily, but I'm saying, you know.
Well, that's true. Well, I hope I'm not revealing any trade secrets.
Explain that.
But for all the listeners, I had no idea that all you had to do, Michael, was raise your hands and you get instantaneous applause from the audience.
Yeah. It's a lot like politics.
So that's how you do it.
It's a lot like politics. Except if you're a congressman, nobody reacts.
That's right.
Well, they did, actually, for you there. I mean, what do you think about that, the feelings about Congress?
Listen, there's no question that Congress has been underperforming. I think the American people deserve a better performance coming out of Washington, and we're working hard to try to change that.
No, I mean, what do you think about the random choices from the phone book idea?
Why not? You know, hey, listen, John Dingell yesterday just set a record for most years serving in the House.
Yeah.
He probably gave me the second best piece of advice when I got there. He said, Ron, and he took me under his wing. He said, Ron, never forget, you've got an important job, but you're not an important person. And the second you start thinking you're an important person, that's when you don't think the rules apply to you and you cut corners, and that's when people get into trouble around here. And I've kind of taken that to heart.
Yeah.
You know, we're all replaceable, Michael. We're all replaceable.
Maybe you are, Ron. I don't know. Who's going to replace Mike Feldman?
That's right.
Who would want to? That's the other part of it. Some of the big questions. How do you feel about the hike in number of livestock?
The heightened number of
the hike. Yeah. You know, you need the permit for how many livestock you can keep.
Right.
I'm sure you're aware of this. You're big on farms and stuff.
Exactly.
So animal units. How many animal units do you favor?
Well, I've always been supportive of family farms. One of the troubling aspects back home is that local decision makers are taken out of the equation now when it comes to these large animal feed operations. I think that's gonna cause problems.
Give me a number, Ron.
Well, of how many livestock I like?
Yeah. Well, they have, right now you can have 200 animal units.
Yeah. Right.
And there's one
there's
right
one
now.
Right there. She's got one already.
What's your feeling on that?
She wants
leave
to
it
cut
at 200.
Yeah, Sharon wants to cut off.
Oh,
at
you
200,
wanna limit the animal units?
Right.
Is that a personal thing? Do you have something against animals, or are they near?
Yeah.
Are they next door or something?
Smelly.
But they want to raise it to 500 animal units.
Yeah.
A cow is 1.4 units. How do they figure that? Okay, yeah,
and you thought Congress was messed up.
I mean, yeah. A congressman is 0.7 units. A market hog is 0.4 units, and a sheep is 0.1 units. So I guess if you fudge this, I guess I would go with the sheep then. You could have pretty many sheep.
Yeah, you'd better bang for the buck, I guess.
Yeah.
The sheep, yeah.
Okay. No comment on this whole unit question? You don't want to commit yourself to a unit number? You give me a
I've
unit?
Been somewhat critical of our farm policy in this country for some time. I think it's leading to greater consolidation. It's squeezing the small family farmer, and we've got to change some of the policies coming out of Washington to address that.
Yeah. I agree. Those subsidies, right? Because
that's
a lot
that's
of
right,
those,
subsidies.
Yeah. Obamacare?
Yes, the Affordable Care Act.
Are you
or
glad
Obamacare?
It's not called Kind Care?
Well, it's kind of funny. I had a listening session recently back home, and it was a gentleman who really didn't like the law. And he said, I hate this Obamacare. I hate it. And I said, well, let me ask you, what part of Obamacare don't you really like? And he said, well, it's the Obama part of Obamacare. I don't like.
Not the care part. He's in
right,
favor
not
of
the care part. Yeah. Right. Listen, I understand it's complicated, but we've had a healthcare system that's been in desperate need of reform for some time. Yeah. I'm not saying this is the perfect thing, but we have to try something.
You think like something like a Gunderson Lutheran, formerly Lutheran care, would be
yeah,
the way to go?
They're going through a bit of an identity crisis right now, but listen, I'm very proud of the healthcare providers we have in this region. Not only Gunderson, but the Mayo system and the Marshfields and the Deans and. I think they are showing models of care that work and work very well. If we can take that nationwide, I don't think we'd have the healthcare crisis that we're facing as a country today.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, should they go nationwide with the Lutheran or without the Lutheran?
Well,
were you a little shocked to hear that?
I think. Well, Mayo system, too. They just switched their name, too. I think they're doing it just to simplify the marketing.
No, they want to get the Presbyterians. I'm telling you,
well, that might help, too.
You know,
right?
And, you know Jewish people want to, you know.
But they're terrific people. They're working very hard, and I think they're providing models of care that we need to pay closer attention to.
What was your major at Harvard? How did you get into Harvard?
Yeah, that's a good question. My mom's still wondering that very question. Yeah. How did that happen, Ron? And that, but
because you went to Logan here, right?
Logan Northsider. My two boys now are at Logan. Sophomore, they just finished up their sophomore freshman year.
Are they playing as well?
They're playing, but they're playing a lot better than I did back then.
They
throw a much better ball than I did at that age.
You hold some records there.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's a few, yeah.
Yeah.
I think for most concussions, too. And that's probably why I got involved in politics.
What were we saying before all this started? I was getting at something here. You said Logan. Yeah. You went to Logan. And there was. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, Harvard. Now, how'd you get into Harvard then from Logan?
Well, I did tend to treat school seriously, too, so I hit the books hard, and I'm trying to impress on my boys. Listen, you need career options. Not everyone's going to make it in the NFL.
Yeah, but Harvard?
Right. Well, it was a good opportunity. But
UWM?
The truth is I had my heart set on going to the Air Force Academy, but then they diagnosed me as red-green colorblind.
And oh, they did?
Said I wouldn't be able to fly. Yeah.
Why? How would that affect your flying?
They wouldn't put me in the cockpit, for starters.
Oh.
they didn't want me shooting on our own troops out in the field. You know?
Okay.
It's one thing throwing interceptions to the wrong team, but you don't want to mess that up.
So you wanted to go to the Air Force Academy, and then Harvard was the second choice?
Yeah, you might say that.
Was it hard to get into Harvard? I never tried. I hear it's hard.
Listen, it was a great opportunity. I came from Western lacrosse here and went out east and was able to attend Harvard. And what was fun about it, what I really enjoyed about it, was the diverse student body that came with it. I mean, there were students from across the world that I was sitting in class with, learning from, and that. In fact, this week we just have our own China son that's rejoined us, Oscar, who's a freshman in high school, and he's staying with us for a few weeks, too. And we need more of that type of exchange, I think, to make the world a better place.
Well, could he stay at our place afterwards?
That's right. Oscar's here. There's Oscar.
Hey, Oscar.
He's been with us a few school years. And
we
can't get rid of the kid now. He keeps coming back.
Could we possibly just pass Oscar around because he could stay with us in Madison?
Oscar's great. He has better English than I do now. He's amazing. But he also wanted me to give you this question that he wrote.
Oh, he did?
So, yeah, why don't you read it to the audience and respond to Oscar.
Very funny.
Oh, it's in Chinese. Yes. You don't read Chinese, Michael?
Yeah. Oh, do you?
Well, yes, I do. Let me translate. Yeah, Oscar says, Michael, I've had a chance to see your program many times. I love it. I'm interested in
yeah,
buying.
Yeah, now
I'm
read
interested.
It. Now read it.
I had it upside down. Right. He said, I'm interested in buying it. What would it take?
Oscar, is that what that says? Simple yes or no. That's not what that says. You made all very creative. Are you that way in caucus as well?
Well, we try to rock the boat a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. And so, what committees are you on?
I'm on the Ways and Means Committee.
Well, that's a good one, isn't it?
It's a lot of things cross our desk. We're right in the middle of most of the big debates, like economic policy, from tax legislation to trade and the entitlement programs, Medicare, Social Security.
Entitlement. You know, they should call them something else.
I would agree.
You know?
Yeah, I would agree.
Entitlement,
I think, is a misnomer. Right.
Call them, I don't know, I can't give a good word for entitlement that isn't entitlement. You know, that's the problem with it.
Well,
but you are. Aren't you entitled to
earned retirement security? I mean, that'd be a good start.
If you pay into something, you're entitled to get something back from
exactly.
it.
Exactly. You do. Right. Yeah, someone said.
What? You earned it stuff. We call it you earned it stuff.
Right.
Instead of entitlements, that'd be a lot easier. And, you know, La Crosse is, I mean, La Crosse County, this area, it's like a Democratic bastion anywhere. I mean, should form a circle. That's a little unusual.
I tend to think that there are more pragmatic, reasonable people who don't get caught up in the whole ideological struggles of our days, and that's what makes it fun representing this area. They're very open-minded, and I think they try to drill down on the issues too, and don't get caught up.
What did you
up.
Just say? I know you go into these things here, and they're very good, but I don't know what they mean.
They're a great group of people to represent.
Yes, they are.
That's the summary.
But I mean, I'm just sort of curious as to why this is like the Alamo of Democratic Party in Wisconsin.
Well, outside of Madison, Milwaukee, the Fox Valley, northern Wisconsin, and you know, all those other areas too, Michael.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Okay, point well made. But here, I mean, you go from ground up. Well, the mayor is progressive, whatever that is.
Well, I like your attitude, but I'd like you to talk to my dad, too, at some point.
Yeah.
He's a little harder to convince on some of the issues.
Is your dad a Republican?
Yeah, you might say that, yeah. Yeah. I don't know what happened to Mom.
How did that happen, then?
She had more influence over him.
Were you adopted, or what happened?
I don't know. It makes for some lively dinnertime conversations, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Did your own philosophy develop over time? Because you probably grew up... Mostly we are what our folks are. You know, did you have a good Democratic experience?
Yeah, I came from fairly humble beginnings on the north side of Lincoln. My dad was actually a telephone repairman for 34 years, you know, shimmying up those telephone lines. And when Mom wasn't at home raising us boys, she was in the La Crosse School District working in the personnel office. And I had to contend with three rambunctious brothers in the family, too. And I'm a middle child. So I think
you're in the middle?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think you got to do a lot of listening, learning to listen a lot when you're in the middle.
But did you go to Badger Camp or something, or Badger Nation, whatever that's called?
Yeah, I did. I did Badger Camp, Badger Boy State.
Badger Boy State.
Right. Exactly.
Because Walker did, but he came out with a different counselor apparently.
Apparently so.
And apparently, something happened to him at Badger State or something. Is what I understand.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
But did you have an experience, like a Democratic? Was there someone that...
An epiphany?
Epiphany.
Listen,
because you worked for Proxmire.
I cut my political teeth with Bill Proxmire, someone who I grew up admiring. But I've had some... Fortunately, growing up in Wisconsin, we've had some pretty good role models to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
From Bill Proxmire to Gaylord Nelson, the father of Earth Day, which is still celebrated every year.
Yeah.
So I did spend some time with Bill Proxmire out in Washington, investigated many of his Golden Fleece Awards. Ridiculous spending.
Which he later had up here, as I recall.
That's right.
Put it on top of his head. Well, that's interesting. So, but was that the turning point then?
Who knows if you have an opportunity to run for public office. I eventually came back home, and I was working as a prosecutor, special prosecutor.
When Tawny and I, shortly
after we got married, decided to run for the congressional seat. And it's an important I discovered in life to marry up. And I'm fortunate to have done that with my wife, Tawny.
I know.
Because there's no way I could have done it without her help.
That's the mistake I made.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't marry up. Oh, anyway, okay. I married horizontal, kind of. You know, she's been that way ever since. Actually, I don't.
Right.
Anyway. Oh, come on! I'm kidding.
Let's try this.
Hi, honey. Hi, honey. Don't get up. That's all right. Okay. A lot of Americans probably believe that Congress actually cannot function anymore. That's a dysfunctional, absolutely dysfunctional. And by design now, a lot of these people who came in, their design is more or less to dismantle government, really. And so you elect someone like that, and surprise, government is not working. I mean, is it hopelessly deadlocked?
Well, listen, I still hold enduring faith in the future of our country, but it is hard. I mean, you have 535 people from different walks of life, different parts of the country, all thrown together, and you're trying to reach consensus amongst all those different viewpoints. But what has been troubling recently is this attitude coming to Washington. It's either my way or no way at all.
Yeah.
And then nothing gets accomplished then. And the essence of any democracy is compromise, and it's the only way a family can survive. I mean, if I came home one night and said, Tony, I've got a great new idea. It's either going to be my way or no way at all in this household anymore, she'd throw me out on my ears. And so I think we need to take that same approach to Congress and to the debates that we have.
Well, if you do, Tony, Mike Feldman. Rebound.
Then you'll have a chance to marry up, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Way up. Over my head. But, I mean, do you see this?
What?
Then she can marry up, she said. Whoa.
Oh.
Yeah,
this is getting good.
She's going to the phone really book now, apparently.
Yeah. Do you see any of this changing? I mean, do you see
I do. I do. There are cycles to American history. I think there are cycles to politics, too. And usually when you enter a bad economic time, you get a lot more of this anxiety, a lot more of this head-butting, and a lot more finger-pointing, and a lot being not being accomplished then.
Yeah.
But I think it's coming back. I think the new class that just got elected are more reasonable and pragmatic, and hopefully the pendulum will start swinging back again.
So do you see that? Because one does not, all of votes in Congress, one does not seem to, how many times they vote against Obamacare?
Yeah, it's been hard. I mean, I think we're up to 37 and counting.
37,
right?
Okay.
We get it. They don't like it, but really, 37 times to repeal the bill of the land, it gets a little redundant.
Yeah. But you see that changing.
Well, I think there's a lot of hard work. We have some serious issues that we need to address, and I found, you know, in the course of my job, it helps if you can just slow down and listen to each other, because there is a lot of common ground, but when there's too much shouting, there's not enough listening, and this is what you get from it, and a lot of disappointment.
And what do you see right now, I mean, in this session of Congress, at this point in history, what is the most pressing need for Congress to
Well, as I know some of my colleagues believe it's the deficit and debt, and we've got to get our fiscal house in order. You know, they're right, we do. We have a responsibility. But I think the greatest challenge we face is increased global competition. And how we respond to that as a nation is going to define who we are as a country and what type of future our children and grandchildren have. And that's why we keep inviting Oscar back, so we can find out what the Chinese are up to. He's great. We love him.
That's your motive, huh?
That's the motive. That's right.
And how does one do that, though, this increased global competition? I mean, everything is offshore now, even Apple and all that stuff is offshore.
You know, Michael, China here in Wisconsin, our farmers have a saying, you can't eat the seed corn. It's the seed corn we need to be planting as
do
a nation.
Do they have that saying?
I think they do.
Have you ever heard it?
And it's hard, been hard this spring for them to plant the seed corn because of all the rain and how muddy the fields are. But
has anyone ever heard a farmer say that? You can't eat the seed corn?
Can't eat the. We've got a couple farmers in the audience.
Okay,
can't eat the seed corn.
I just never heard that.
And by that, I mean, you know, the crucial public investments we also have to be making in quality education, job training, research programs, broadband expansion, infrastructure investment. That's the seed corn we need to be investing in. And yet those are the programs that get cut right now. And I think it's going to leave us in a less competitive position if it continues.
Yeah, I think you're right. Congressman, nice to have you here.
Nice
to meet you.
Welcome.
Thank Congressman, you. The Honorable Ron Kind, ladies and gentlemen. Do this as you leave. Congressman Ron Kind. Okay. Glad we cleared up that Harvard thing anyway. Okay, that's just the rundown there. I don't need to know that. We got the boys in the band here with us today, ladies and gentlemen. They want to perform for you. And I'll tell you who they are in a minute. Oh. We have on the piano here Mr. John Tulane, our band
Hello.
Leader. And I'll let John introduce his bandmates.
Oh, well, I can't remember Dustin's name. on drums, we got a special guest today. He is from La Crosse. Yeah, I know that, Jeff. Thank you.
Dustin Hackworth on the drums joining us today.
And, of course, every week we have the great bassist and close personal friend of mine, Jeff Hammond on bass. And this is a tune. I picked this for you, Michael, because I think you like this tune.
Okay, let's see.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Well done. Well done. Okay. I'm going to fall off the stage right now into the audience. Where is the only place you can get on? Here it is. Ah! That wasn't so hard. How are you?
Fine.
Right where the stage ends, so I thought I'd say hello to you.
I was going to catch you.
Thank you very much. And you are?
Ann.
Hi, Ann.
Hello.
What are you up to these days?
Oh, just hanging out.
Yeah? All the time? You can't be hanging out all the time.
Well, no, but I have little kids at home. So,
you do? How many you got?
Just two.
Two? Just two?
Yeah.
How many would you like?
It seems to be the new two around here, you know.
And their ages are?
11 and 8.
11 and 8? That's still, you can still work with that, can't you?
Well, yeah, we left them alone to come see you.
You did? Okay. Maybe you better check on them.
Don't tell social services.
Okay, all right. Nice to see you. Thanks for
coming. No problem.
No problem? Okay. Then we got also here Lisa Wild from Onalaska. Huh? Don't we? Wow, I can't get to you wherever you are. Are you back? Where are you? Hi. How are you? Good. Wish I could get to you there. I don't see how did you get there in the first place? It's like sardines back there. Do you like sardines? I actually like sardines. I'm one of the few people. All right, I'll tell you what. You come over here. I'll meet you at the aisle. That seems fair, doesn't it? Yeah, you can. Because if you step on people, they're not going to mind so much. I do it. Entirely different. Hi.
Hi.
How are things?
Great.
Good. Great. Really?
Pretty good.
Well, it's getting worse and worse the more I ask. Not so bad next. And
not so
fair,
bad. Yeah.
And, could be better.
It's good.
Could be worse. Onalaska, is it true what they say about Onalaska?
What do they say about Onalaska?
I was going to ask you that too. It's growing. What? It's growing, isn't it?
Growing.
Leaps and bounds.
Yes, it is growing. Yeah. People think it's actually Alaska.
I know. There when is that. The name is a problem, isn't
from
it?
From out of town. Where? Onalaska? You're on Alaska? Where's that?
Well, how do they get Onalaska? Is that an Indian name or something?
It's a last name of the sawmill guy.
Oh, the sawmill guy. Those are the two choices you get in Wisconsin. It's either the sawmill guy or an Indian name.
It's his last name. Yeah. It's the last name of a guy.
Alaska.
Yeah.
No? There's some disagreement. There's no controversy. I love it. What's the, what? Oh, good, yeah.
My wife, the social studies teacher, will explain it to you.
There you go.
Don't, stay right there. I'll get back in just a second. Don't leave. We have to correct this as we go. Yes.
It came from a Native American poem, and in the poem it was called Unalaska, but they shortened it up to Onalaska.
How do you account for the sawmill guy then?
Onalaska's a lumber town.
Okay, I'll give you that.
And the guy who named Onalaska also lived in Washington State for a while and named the town there Onalaska and then moved to Texas and did the same thing there.
But what was his name?
I don't know.
Then why isn't it I don't know, Wisconsin? His name was Bob?
Oli Onalaska.
Oh, we got to go.
Dear, I'm sorry we didn't get to your card there, but nice talking with you anyway.
Okay. Thank you.
You're a little disappointed, I know. Oh, my earliest childhood memory, I think. She asked what my earliest childhood memory was, and it was at age 35 anyhow, so it wouldn't... it's the last thing I can remember, actually. 35. Okay. Well, we're going to go right now to the What Do You Know quiz, but before we can do that, oh, who ended up with the four disclaimers? Oh, you did. Okay. Didn't get that far. Can I get you to come over to this aisle here? We're going to play the What Do You Know quiz, chance to win fabulous prizes. First, we've got to know who can and cannot participate in said quiz. And we have...
David from Trempealeau.
David from Trempealeau, ladies and gentlemen.
The four disclaimers. Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, it'll always be Gunderson Lutheran to me. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
That little souvenir in lieu of payment. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the What Do You Know quiz. Well, you're the most enthusiastic, and that's always a mistake, but come on over here anyhow. I think you want to do this too badly. Yeah, really badly. That's always a mistake, I think, but let's see. You are?
I'm Kate Mayer.
Kate?
Yes.
You're well known, Kate.
That could be dangerous.
Why are you so well known, Kate? Because you came with all those people?
I came with all these people, yes, yes.
What do you do in life as we know it, Kate?
This is my one-year anniversary of retiring from 40 years of teaching.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Where you were known as Mrs.
What's that?
You were known as Mrs.
Ms. Mayer.
Ms. Mayer.
Yes.
Ms. Mayer. That sounds good. I like that. Kate, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Your drummer, whose name you keep forgetting, would like for you to choose me because I think I was his favorite teacher.
Justin Timberlake. All right. Yeah. Okay, come on then, Kate. Walk this way. We have to kayak around this part here. Your teacher. So Justin was your student.
It's not Justin. Justin.
Dustin. Timberhake.
Dustin.
Timberhack.
Hackworth.
Hackworth.
Yes.
What kind of student was he?
He was a really good student.
Really?
He starred in a Shakespeare play that we put on, actually, and I got him to wear green tights, I think.
Oh.
Yes? Do you remember your part?
He still got him on. Do you remember your part?
Always a teacher.
Yeah.
He was bottom.
You remember those parts in the tights?
I remember the tights.
Yeah, okay. You had to remember your... Anyhow, good. And that's great. That's great. 40 years.
Yes.
Long time.
Yes.
To teach. And mm-hmm. But it was fabulous.
It was fabulous.
And you'd recommend that to any young person.
Would I recommend it? You know, it brought me to tears when my youngest daughter wanted to be a teacher.
Yeah.
But in these political times,
yeah.
I was worried about her. But it's the finest career for me. But boy, it's tough right now.
Tough now.
Yeah.
But still, if you got the knack for it, got the calling, you should go with it.
Yeah, right? If you can save a kid, you think you can be a teacher.
Yeah. Great. Excellent. Where did you teach all these years?
I started on the Rosebud Indian Reservation
in
South Dakota, and then I moved to Onalaska, and I've been teaching in Onalaska for like 35 years.
Yeah.
I'm retired. Yeah.
Someone out there plays along with you, Kate.
That's how this works here. And you have all the knowledge you're going to need, I think, for this quiz. It's going to be pretty easy for you. And we have a qualifying question, but Sarah, how does that work?
The people who want to play the quiz are going to pick up the phone and dial 608-784-2043.
608-784-2043.
608-784-2043.
Does that spell out anything?
No, it does not.
Okay. That's lucky. Okay. And the answer to this qualifying question, and okay, all you got to do is translate the Borgen's Cafe motto, Spis Drik Avergla. Is that Chinese, too? Maybe we can have our young. Spis Drik Avergla. All you got to do is translate that, and you're on the quiz. Easy as that. And we got people calling right now all over the place. What's that number again, Sarah?
608-784-2043.
That's the number to call, and just have to translate the Borgen's Cafe out there in Westby. Yeah. Well, did you know they had a motto? I think it must be over the door or something. Spis Drik Avergla. How does that sound? Norwegian? No. Okay, let's go to the phones right now. John's on the line from Clarksburg, West Virginia. He's bound to know this. Hey, John.
Good morning.
Do you speak any Norwegian or Nordic tongues?
No, Italian, not Norwegian.
Okay, then you should get this pretty easy. Spis Drik Avergla. What does that mean?
Could you please repeat the question?
Translate it.
Could you please repeat the word?
You don't have to spell them. It's not a spelling bee. Spis Drik Avergla. Hello? John, my career is ticking away here.
I'm going to say, pleased to meet you.
No, very far from the truth. Okay, bye. I don't mean that way. No. Joe, Charleston, South Carolina, you got this, don't you, Joe?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm
okay, go ahead.
Does that go with fish?
Okay, we'll accept that. It's a good approximation anyway. Because frankly, I don't know what it means. What does it mean? Drink, eat, drink, and be merry or something like that? Does it? Pretty much? Okay. All right. Nice going, Joe. Very close. Does that go with fish? It's pretty much a translation of that. Joe, what do you do out there in Charleston, South Carolina?
I work in heavy-duty trucking for Cummins, making turbochargers.
Okay. You're not working in that right now, are you? Because we hate to see you getting a workplace thing. No, okay, good. Got the weekend off?
Yes, sir.
Going to do some fishing or something?
Yeah, yard work today.
Yard work is good, too.
Yeah.
Joe, this is Kate. She's a teacher, so it's really all you need on this quiz, really.
Hi, Joe.
Okay. Hi, Kate.
Okay, you guys good?
We're
collaborate,
good.
You work together on the quiz.
We have not various, like politicians.
We have various categories, and what are they?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, okay. And odds and ends.
All right, Joe, you pick the first one.
Joe?
Yes, you do, yes.
Things you should have known or learned in school.
Okay.
Kate, you can help.
Okay, so what is a coulee, as in the Coulee region?
Oh, I think I know what a coulee is.
Okay.
It's a local term for a valley. It's off the rivers. It's a valley. It's a local term for a valley.
Joe, you go along with that?
Yes.
Yes, it is. It's like a fjord. If you're back in Norway, it's a fjord, I think. Okay, so that would be...
That's one right and zero wrong.
Cool. What's left there, Sarah?
Current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Kate, what would you like?
Current events.
Current events, right out of the news. Let's see if it is. Yes. The most popular boys and girls, Gunderson, formerly Lutheran, names. Is it A, Mason and Olivia, B, Aiden and Peyton, or C, Liam and Evelyn? Formerly Lutheran names.
I don't think it's C, Joe, do you?
Okay. Is it then Mason and Olivia or Aiden and Peyton?
Well, in school we have lots of Masons and Olivia right now.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yes, Mason and Olivia. Boy, that came in handy. How about that?
That's two right and zero wrong.
Okay. What's left there, Sharon?
People, places, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Joe, what would you like?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Could be anything. Yes, it is. Who has the shorter commute to work, folks, in La Crosse or La Crescent?
What?
Shorter commute to work, La Crosse or La Crescent?
Well, I guess it depends where they're working. Do you...
Not my problem.
Odds and ends. La Crescent, is that in Wisconsin?
No, that's in Minnesota there, hey. Okay, don't get excited about it. He wasn't trying to insult you or anything. Yeah.
That sounds like a smaller town to me. Let's go with maybe they're an outlier and they got to come in.
Okay. He says La Crescent.
But if they work in La Crosse, their commute is much less. Is that what you're asking?
No, I'm asking if he's right or not.
Let's say he's right.
He's right, yes. 17 minutes to 18.4 minutes. Holy cow, they've won. And they can quit here, can't they?
They can, or they can test it all on one more question.
One more question, go for the giant kielbasa?
That's right.
The whole thing, you want to go on and win everything?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Joe, is that okay?
Sure.
Okay, pick a category then.
It's either people, places, or science.
Was it back?
My turn?
Yes.
Science.
Science it is. Here it is for everything. How much time does a mayfly have to mate in the swarm?
Oh, it's a really short amount, Joe. Yeah.
Is this a multiple choice?
Nope. Gotta know this.
It's like less than a minute.
Whoa, that's pretty short. That's a lot of pressure.
It's maybe... Joe, what do you think?
Well, how long do they live, I guess?
Half an hour?
That's their whole mission there in that swarm.
Okay.
Half an hour?
More like...
They're telling me to go up, like a day.
A day? I think maybe like a day?
About a day.
Let's give them a little leeway here.
Okay.
Yes? She says a day.
Sense.
Yes, Joe?
Yeah.
Yes, they got one day! That's no pressure!
Dave begins celebrating with a six-pack of beer from La Crosse's famed Pearl Street Brewery, beer that combines the freshest all-natural hops, malt, and water with pride, wit, and integrity. And find out how that's accomplished. You'll later be taking the Tour de Pearl at the brewery located on St. Andrew Street in La Crosse. Then you'll be able to gain inspiration from a set of books from the D.B. Reinhardt Institute for Ethics and Leadership, bringing people together in fruitful conversation about ethical ideas and issues. Joe, you and a companion will be paddling your own canoe while exploring nature and relieving stress during a group paddle from the Three Rivers Outdoors, historic downtown La Crosse's premier store for outdoor enthusiasts, and then celebrate Dairy Month with handcrafted cheeses and butters from Nordic Creamery of Westby, Wisconsin. Congratulations to you both. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international.
Joe, make sure you get that.
This is PRI Public Radio International.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Just like it was planned.
Live from the beautiful Fine Arts Center at Viterbo University in La Crosse, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, Dustin Hackworth on drums. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, blues artist Mike Munson, Mayfly expert, rather, Tom Claflin, Joe Kachiever from Pearl Street Brewery, and Gary Rudolph of Rudy's Diner, all that in 1 hour, plus more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, if you put glasses on that Hiawatha statue, you would have Michael Feldman.
Yeah. How's everything? Pretty good? Okay. Going good so far? Okay. Anyone got to be anywhere? You have to leave? You can. Okay, good. Then you're staying here. We're locking the doors. We got another guest here from Winona, as a matter of fact. And you're not running in a Winona-thon, are you? Going to run that? Are you a triathlon kind of guy?
Not at all.
No? Do any exercise at all, Mike?
Occasionally.
Yeah? What do you do for exercise?
Sometimes I stand up and play guitar. Mostly I sit and play guitar.
You just stand up and is that... Yeah. Do you flex at all while you're doing that, or do you any like drops, any knee drops or anything?
Only after stretching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Mike Munson, ladies and gentlemen, from Winona.
Thank you.
Are you still at the co-op? Are you still? Or you, did you leave the co-op?
No, I left working at the co-op. I used to work at the Bluff Country Co-op in Winona, but
yeah,
that's right. Co-ops are great. Thank you.
And to pursue music full time.
Correct. Yep.
And have you caught it yet?
I'm still going after it.
Still pursuing.
Still
it,
going yeah. after it. Yeah.
Who are your biggest musical influences? Would you say?
I mean, I like a lot of old American folk music. I like a lot of American jazz.
Yeah.
You know, anything good I'll listen to.
Yeah. How'd you learn how to play that thing?
I started in grade school and just went after it.
Yeah.
You know.
And stayed with it all these years. And
stayed with it.
Are you writing your own stuff now?
I am. Yep.
You are. And you're recording some of that? Or?
Yep. Yeah. I was just 2 weeks ago, I've been working on getting a recording together, a real deal recording. So that should be out by the end of the summer.
Sounds good. What's this number you're going to play?
I call it Good Gal Said.
Sounds great. Mike Munson, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. so much.
You got that good Winona Delta sound going on there.
Thanks.
Is there a Delta anywhere near Winona? There might be, actually.
Well, they kind of filled it in, but we're on the river.
Well, that goes back to the old field blues kind of shouting blues from the Delta.
Very much so.
So there must be someone in particular who influenced you.
All those old guys. I think I've listened to just about every one of them, I hope.
Yeah. Do you have the old 78s and all that stuff?
I wish. I don't have that much money, though.
Yeah. No, really fine, really fine. You played that very well.
Thanks
indeed.
So much. Appreciate it.
What is that weapon you've got there?
It's called the slide. This is just a piece of glass.
No, I don't mean that. I mean the guitar.
This?
So.
What is it?
Yeah, what is it? What kind is she there?
It's a... The make is Jerry Jones, maker out of Nashville. He just quit a couple years ago, but it's funny because the top and the back is a mix of plastic and plywood.
Yeah,
so it's
it
not
sounds
that fancy.
Great. Sounds terrific. Yeah, of course you're playing it. That helped quite a bit, I think. You got another one for us?
I can do another one. Yeah,
well, please
thanks
do.
So much.
Mike Munson.
I call this one Over Now. Now that I'm old
offshore. Now that I'm older, life's a whoops, and it's all over now, and it's all
Mike Monson from Winona. So check him out and see when that, you have that CD coming out shortly. So keep an eye on that. Mike Monson. All right. Okay, speaking of mayflies, in case you were, this is should be like a tourist attraction. People should come for Mayfly Festival. But you don't know when to come exactly. You know, it's chancy. But they show up on the radar, so when you see them coming, declare a festival. You know, Mayfly Festival. It's the thing. It's amazing. And we have Mr. Mayfly with us right here, Professor Emeritus Tom Claflin, right now to explain the miracle of the mayfly. A miracle it is. I don't think that's too strong a word. Let's see it. Now, you look familiar. We've met before? Or?
No, although I did see your show here 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing it out there.
Yeah, did you have?
Yeah.
Actually, it was kind of fun. There were half a dozen of us or so, and the wife of one of the people was in labor. And so I filled out a card for her, and I said something to the effect that I'm such a fan that in spite of the fact I'm in labor, I'm going to stay for the whole show. And I signed her name. But you didn't see it, which is probably a good
just
thing.
As well,
we're still friends.
Yeah,
so.
Just as well. All right, so we're talking here about the Hexagenia bilineata.
Bilineata. Yeah.
I said that.
Mm-hmm.
Bilineata.
Mm-hmm.
Are there various types of mayflies? Are we looking at one specific?
Many, many species of mayflies in North America, but the two that we're talking about here are really both Hexagenia bilineata and Hexagenia limbata or limbata.
Limbata?
They're both.
That's the one that dances, right?
They're both, they do the dance under the bridges.
Yeah. Okay.
But they.
Well, which ones are in that you got to plow off the bridge? Which ones are those?
Both of them, actually, but bilineata is one of the most common one here.
Yeah. Are you still fascinated with these creatures? I mean, they're still being studied, right? They're kind of...
I'm still interested in river issues, and I did that almost all my professional life.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm still interested in mayflies. They're very important. I feel like I should have to defend them here.
No. I think they should be a tourist attraction, I think.
Well, they are 2 days or 3 days out of the year. Or a distraction.
Yeah.
But they, they're very important, and they're extremely important food items for several species of fish, bottom-feeding fishes.
Oh, the bottom-feeders.
Catfishes and whatnot, probably up to maybe 50% of their diet is mayfly, the larvae that live in the sediments. So, I mean, we see these critters 1 day a year, 2 days a year.
Yeah.
But they spend an entire year in the bottom of the river in the sediments as nymphs or larvae. And in that regard...
So what's going on right now? They're out there now.
Oh, yeah, just poised, waiting. And,
And what are they waiting for?
Well, the best predictor, I think, of the timing of the emergence, they call it the mayfly hatch, which is kind of a misnomer. It's really an emergence. The hatch happened when the eggs hatched into the larvae a year ago. But the emergence is when they emerge from the immature to the mature form. And they're waiting, the best predictor is the number of degree days. So it's a matter of temperature accumulation of heat and over a period of a year. And that's what makes them synchronous. I mean, all the eggs are laid on basically the same day because they all mate in 1 day. And so it's imperative that if they're
not,
only...
Not in an hour, right? They have a full day.
Yeah, I think I'd give them a little more elbow room than that.
Yeah,
but
or whatever they have.
But they're only sexually mature for a day because the adults don't even feed. They don't even have functional mouths. They're not capable of
feeding. It's a blessing, really.
Probably so, yeah. They don't bite, yeah.
Yeah.
But they, but you know, so the adult phase is strictly reproductive phase. And since they all hatch the same... It's very important, since you only have a day, that they overcome that and maximize their probability of finding a mate. And so that's why they're synchronous, because...
But they will mate with anything, right?
Well...
I mean, the male.
Speaking of a male here. I can't attest to that, but I...
Well, no, I don't mean you personally, but I mean... Because I was reading... This paper is very interesting. This is the Fremling...
Fremling, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. paper. And I was reading it, and anything that moves in that swarm is fair game.
Well, yeah.
If it's a female, so much the better, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You could throw a stone through there, and
that's
they'll
true.
Mate with
it. Yeah. Well, they won't mate with it, but they may chase it, Well, temporarily, but that's how they operate. And the males swarm, usually in an evening, and they usually hover and swarm on some fixed object like a tree, and then the females fly up through the swarm, and they mate, and she deposits her eggs then in the water.
Does the female have a mouth?
No.
Okay, none of them do.
And she ultimately deposits her eggs. The eggs are, you know, spread to the...
I was just curious if she went on without him.
I'm just trying to ignore that because I want to see how
to go. No.
No.
I just meant that she have a full and wonderful life without him, like, go on, but she doesn't.
No.
She's
no. That's it. It's about a day and a half, and or at the most, and then they mate, and if they mate, and they deposit their eggs and they start the new cycle.
How many? I mean, do we have any numbers on this? As to
how
many males actually score in the average in the average emergence?
Well, a male can actually mate with more than one female, although...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but...
Now you tell me!
And I don't know, but a female will lay anywhere from 4,000 to maybe 7,000 or 8,000 eggs, so, once she's fertilized. So the numbers are, you know, it's a strategy where they produce very large numbers and the survival rates are very low. But they are important food items for many fishes, and they've been used kind of for indicator organisms as well.
Yeah.
Now, years ago, when Minneapolis,
like canary in the mine.
In a sense,
thing,
Minneapolis and St. Paul were flushing raw sewage for years, and they basically eliminated the mayflies from the upper reaches of the Mississippi River, including Lake Pepin, primarily because mayfly larvae, or the nymphs, have a rather stringent requirement for oxygen. And when sewage hits the water and deposits in the sediments, it simply extirpates them from the area. Yeah. So,
like they didn't have enough trouble, you know?
Yeah, exactly,
No oxygen.
Yeah, one in one day, you know, that kind of scenario. But they have since come back now, since the state of Wisconsin sued Minneapolis and St. Paul successfully. And you can go into Lake Pepin now, which is a large body of water upstream from us, and find mayflies throughout. And so in that sense, they're kind of an indicator. But
is there anywhere where they actually come out in May?
That's probably not.
Well, South
yes,
Carolina,
but
or
not these species. And in fact, in the northern reaches of North America, you get them Canadian waters.
October flies, right?
Well, the life cycle takes maybe up to three years. So, and in southern reaches, it's usually one generation a year. So,
Any fossil record of mayflies?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they're fossilized very well.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't.
But they certainly are obvious, and when they do emerge, they can be seen literally on weather radars, picked them up in the swarms. And of course, if you live in La Crosse, you've observed the collection of mayflies. They're photopositive, so they're attracted to lights, of course, and so they manage them by simply turning lights off on the bridges and whatnot. And,
which is great for traffic, too. Drive with your lights off through a swarm.
Yeah, I've seen some old photographs of years past where they've been piled up, you know, feet deep. But You know, it's a small price to pay for a very important...
is that why the bridge now has holes in it, so they fall?
Well, I don't know. I don't think so, but I think it's solved some of the problem.
Some of it.
But I don't think that was the reason.
Yeah, yeah. And do they... I think I read in this where they tend to assume the shape of a building or something. They will swarm in the shape of the building. Is that true?
Don't know. I haven't read that.
Okay. You got to read this paper. It's excellent paper. I got it from you.
That could be. I knew Cal very well, and he and I worked together on a number of projects.
Yeah,
but,
I could find
but yeah, but they do swarm. They do fix on objects, usually a tree or a building or something, and they'll.
What was the thinking behind the mayfly?
Well, you know.
I mean, here you go. You have one day.
Yeah, but it's
you
important.
You got no mouth. You mate, and then the cycle starts. So they're just there as food, basically.
But that may be the most important day of their life because it stirs up the gene.
Definitely would be.
Well, yeah.
That's hard to argue against.
No, but, I agree.
Yes.
But it stirs up the gene pool. I mean, that new gene combinations, and that perpetuates the species. So that's...
So they're evolving?
Well, everything, yes, yeah, everything's evolving, aren't we all?
So what are they evolving towards, a mouth?
I don't
like
know
having
that.
A mouth and getting out of this cycle that's killing them?
Actually, if I knew the answer to those questions, I probably wouldn't.
That'd be cool, though, wouldn't it, if actually they were evolving, if suddenly we start to see mayflies with mouths and lives.
Yeah, I think I don't think we'll see that change in our lifetime. But
yeah, yeah. So they're mainly, you know, you wonder about these things, though, don't you?
Yeah, well, you know, insects, if you had to look at the bizarre nature of life cycles in general, insects and, you know, mayflies and beetles, I mean, my stars, they display some of the most bizarre kinds of evolutionary characteristics that known to man. And
which beetle are you thinking of?
Well, there's a whole bunch of them, but I won't get into that, but... But I mean, there's
Come on, give me one beetle here.
The dung beetle. Dung beetles, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, are they evolving?
I presume they are.
Are they getting past the whole dung thing?
I think they're maybe more selective. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's get off dung beetles here for a while.
No, they're interesting to me too, actually, because the Egyptians sort of thought they were very important.
The scarabs.
So.
No, but
whereas you see very little mayfly worship.
Yeah, that's true. I never thought of that. I wonder if they have. I'm sure they have mayflies in the Nile River, but different species.
I think. Okay, and your career, however, is not based on the mayfly.
You're more of a general
river biology guy.
I was in the biology department at UW La Crosse here for 35 years.
35 years, and you started this. There's still something going on, a consortium or something.
Well, we created the River Studies Center back in 1970, and that's still going. And, we started the Mississippi River Research Consortium.
Yeah.
And those were exciting times in the 60s for river biologists because at that time, prior to the National Environmental Policy Act, a lot of the resources of the country were more aimed toward lakes, and people considered rivers as a convenience for transportation and to get rid of sewage and things. And in the 60s and early 70s, after the NEPA passed, we became very, very much more serious about the status of our rivers, and we realized how important they are in the general scheme of things. So it was fun to be a part of that back in the 60s and 70s. Yeah.
Is the Mississippi healthier than it was 30, 40 years ago?
Yeah, the Mississippi is generally healthier than it was 40 years ago, but it's faced with lots of new problems now that are, you know, with invasive species and whatnot that are, and we keep creating problems for ourselves, and we never seem to learn from our mistakes when it comes to rivers. But
What's the invasive species of the year?
Well, the zebra mussel has been here for a while, you know. I mean, but now there are a number of fishes from the Asian continent that are coming on board and brought here for all the wrong reasons and have escaped. And
what's that called?
There's a silver carp and there's a round goby now that is a small fish that's invasive. And The problem is it's going to disrupt the life cycles of many of our, and it already has, of many of our endemic species.
Are those like aquarium fish that get released or something?
Well, I think they were, fish in the wild that were just brought over by, well, some by ballast water, but some were brought here initially on purpose to stock in southern ponds to control weeds, and I mean, that's crazy to do that. But they did it, and they got loose, and here they are, you know, and now they're trying to keep them out of Lake Michigan, and I don't know if that's going to be successful or not, but...
Do you have a prediction for the emergence this year? Are we looking at July 4th?
I don't know.
I want to plan a trip.
You know, it's interesting because it's conceivable this cool summer could delay them a week or maybe two. I don't know.
No.
I don't know that.
No, okay.
But I know we'll have some. They'll be here.
Okay. Thanks very much.
In large lumps.
Professor Emeritus Tom Claflin, ladies and gentlemen, thanks, Tom, so much.
Thank you.
He's now with the Habitat for Humanity, by the way. That's his thing. Not... Thank you, Tom. Professor, I mean. All right, then, there. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Did you take a lot of biology in school or any?
High school.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or college,
yeah,
you probably,
no, I was
you're
interested.
Over it by college, though, right?
Yeah, that's one science that I liked. It didn't involve a lot of math,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. By the way, I enjoyed the Town Without Pity.
Oh, thank you.
First number. I'm probably the only person here who realized that's what it was. Remember Town Without Pity? Gene Pitney? Take these eagles and hold me tight. Yeah, I can sing that.
It took me a while to get the original out of my head. I couldn't listen to it. Otherwise, it...
Yeah. You know who wrote that? Dmitri Tiomkin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, he wrote some other stuff, too.
Yeah, the director. He was the director, and in fact, he directed the movie, I think, and he wrote the music for it.
Yeah, cool.
That's pretty interesting. Or not. okay, so now this one here has got nothing to do with that, or Dmitri Tiomkin, or anything.
Yeah. This is about a mayfly. It's called Going Home.
Hackworth. I'll get it. Okay. All right, then. I'm going to the audience.
Careful now when you go down the stairs. Careful going down the stairs. Sir.
What stairs?
I don't know. There's some stairs over there.
Okay. You can't go down that side, can you? No, that's too dangerous. Okay.
We want you to fall.
What about that, Dustin, huh? Oh, yeah. And such a good student. He was such a good student. And in those tights, he was a knockout. I'll tell you. Okay, what we got here? What is the most awkward conversation you've had on the show? Yeah. What do you mean, awkward? You mean a conversation that I've had with someone? Didn't seem to, like, go anywhere, or...
Right. Like an awkward sort of...
You mean like one of those moments where you wonder why you're even having it?
Possibly, I guess. Yeah,
I can't think of one like that. I'm sure I've had them, but I don't recall what they are. Amanda Brower, ladies and gentlemen, raise that awkward question. Awkward. It's my kids who have awkward things. I don't know. I'm sure I've had awkward things, but you know, kids nowadays. Awkward. You know, that's all you hear. Oh, that was awkward. You know, welcome to life. You know, I mean, how was that awkward? That's not, I mean, everything is awkward. I haven't found anything yet that isn't awkward.
So I don't even consider it to be awkward. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you say awkward?
No.
Who has an awkward kid here? Always experience. Doesn't it drive you crazy?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, I'm all right. Tell him that. Got to tell him that sometimes. You think that's awkward? Okay. Kyla Schoenberger. Schoenberger. Schoenberger? Schoenberger or Schoenberger? Yeah. What? Okay, just should come this way, because otherwise I got to go all the way through there. You couldn't squeeze through there, could you? Oh, you could. Wow. Kayla. Very nice. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. You're from St. Louis, says here.
Yeah.
Yeah? What are you doing in town now?
Well, I went to school at Viterbo.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
And that's like a guarantee of a job, isn't it, if you go to Viterbo? Like, it's almost 100% placement or something like that.
I guess. I have a job now, so.
Yeah. And that's just from going to Viterbo. You show them the diploma, and they hire you, right? Is that how it works?
Exactly. I just walked in. Here's my diploma. Yeah. You have the job.
Yeah. What did you major in here?
Biopsychology.
What? What is biopsychology?
It's basically studying biology and psychology at the same time, so.
Yeah, do you have any mayflies as patients?
No.
Really, I would love to talk to one, but there isn't time, you know. Listen, why are you doing this? There's no point to it. Get a mouth. Have a life. So that's really interesting. And are you working in biopsychology?
No, I am a chemist at Scientific Protein Labs in Wanakee.
Yeah, what do you do for them?
Chemistry.
Is it chemistry psychology or something?
No.
Psychology of chemists or anything like that?
Nothing to do with psychology, yeah. But it's a stepping stone.
If one were to get a job in biopsychology, what would one do?
You could do lots of things with biopsychology, actually. You could be a clinical psychologist. You could work in a lab. You could do lots of things. That's what's so great about it. So many things.
You're a very good spokeswoman for biopsychology. I'm still not quite sure. Mike Feldman, biopsychologist. I don't know. That would work. So, and you have a question here. What's your question?
Why is my boyfriend's dog so big?
Am I the one to answer? Is that's not a euphemism, is it, for anything?
I thought you might know.
You would be the one to know, not me. I have no idea.
It's the biggest dog I've ever seen.
Study your biopsychology. Goodbye now. Thank you, dear. Very nice to meet you. Congratulations on your success. Why would I know that, though, really? Are you the boyfriend? Why is your dog so big?
I have no idea.
You have no idea. You must have bought a big dog, perhaps. Is that possibly it? Or fat. What kind is it?
Golden Retriever.
Golden Retriever. Okay, well, they get big, you know, if you feed them. Stop feeding them, you have a smaller Golden Retriever. That's all. Here we have a dad home with 4 children aged 3 and under. How is that even possible? How is that even possible, Jay? Joy? Jay or Joy? Either one? Okay, this is worth finding out, but how do I get to you? Yeah, I know. I see her, but I don't know how to get there. Okay. Why don't you go that way? I'll meet you, because this is worth exploring here. I want to see how this... Because I have a biopsychologist here who could help you with this, possibly. We find out how this is possible to have 4 children aged 3 and under. Did you run the numbers on this? Is that even possible?
It is possible. He's home. 4 children, 3 and under.
Yeah.
They're not all mine, though. No, I'm here with a girlfriend.
You're with a girlfriend? Hi.
2 of them are hers, and he volunteered to take all 4 of them.
Oh, he's just watching them. He doesn't actually own them.
No. But he did apparently call in reinforcements, so there's one other dad there with one other girl. So now, 2 dads, 5 girls, under 3.
Okay. All right.
Well, Lord help us.
I was worried about from a biological standpoint. How they...
No.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, thank you for clearing that up.
Yes.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye. See.
What? I'm just getting started. Look at all the cards I got to go through yet. How can I do that? Okay, one more. I'll do one more. Let's see who's next. Do you think the CIA invented Facebook? Yeah. I believe in every conspiracy theory, and sometimes they conflict, so it's hard on a guy. I think everything is conspiracy. And just saying that is part of a conspiracy. So, I'll do one more, just one more, okay? I'm becoming a parent in August. What I need to know? Contraception? Okay, one more, because that was a throwaway line. Is it really better to be lucky than good? I don't know. I can't answer that. I've been lucky, and sometimes I've been good, but not all the time. I teach human resources at Black Hawk Technical College. I'm landlady to four college guys. Should I shampoo the carpet today? Are they out of the house? Where are we? Yes? Yes, are they out of the house?
Just one. I still have one there.
Okay. When he goes, shampoo. Oh. And shampoo him, too, while you're at it, because they never know what they bring in. We're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz. Oh, I will get to that, I promise you. And because you didn't get a chance the first time, how about this time, then? You know, I don't want people to think just because they do this that they can get on the show. So come on down here. But don't think that. You are a screamer. Holy cow.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Better.
Did you take your meds or not? What's your name?
AJ.
AJ?
AJ.
Okay, and do you go to school here, or?
No. I work at Aquinas Catholic Schools here in La Crosse.
You do? Catholic schools?
Okay. I don't teach.
No, what do you do?
I do communications and marketing work.
Okay, good. AJ?
Yeah?
Give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because those three lovely people here and myself are the top trivia team in La Crosse.
No kidding. Boy, I wish this was trivial. You'd have a leg up on it. Speaking of which, come on up here and climb this stage. You good? Okay. It's AJ. You heard about her. Here she is, ladies and gentlemen. Have a seat there if you would. Oh, right there. Top trivia team. What's your team? What's your team called?
We're the Roaring Cheetahs.
Oh, the Roaring Cheetahs.
It's funny because cheetahs don't roar.
No, they don't. That makes it extra funny. Okay. So in the course of your daily job, what do you do? You want to come in a little bit, please? Yeah. Not that we won't hear you.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Let's see. I do lots of print advertising in the La Crosse Tribune and write press releases. And
you do, yeah.
One of the more glamorous parts of my job is I get to look at all the obituaries for alumni that have died.
Oh, wonderful.
And we send sympathy cards. And
you do, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you tone it down a little bit for the sympathy card?
Yes.
Because not everyone can take that the right way. Okay. Hey, that's great, AJ. And hobbies, so trivia, obviously the biggest hobby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And would anything else, anything athletic or sports? Or?
Well, I have two cats.
Okay.
I'm single.
Oh, are you? How did that happen? Doesn't make any sense. Okay, let's give you one day to mate. How about that? Put a little...
Challenge accepted.
Okay. AJ. So then, let's just see where... help me out here, will you?
Yes. People who may want to play the quiz at home.
Yes, that's right.
They're going to pick up the phone.
Or mate, if you want to mate.
Yeah. Ask AJ out, maybe. They dial 608-784-2043. And then you ask them a qualifying question.
What? Oh, okay. the question is, where are the most bars per 1 mile stretch of any street in America? That's
That's the question. Let's go to the phones right now and see if anyone knows that. And Ben's in there from Viroqua. Hey, Ben.
Hello, this Viroqua. Is Ben.
What?
Hello, this is Ben.
Ben? Hi, Ben.
Hi.
You feel like mating, Ben? Got a little treat for you.
Not this weekend. My wife's gone.
Oh, okay. Well, what is better than that?
Perfect timing.
Come on. Use your biopsychology. What's the matter with you? Ben, you know where the most bars per 1 mile stretch of any street in America?
I know it's not here in Vernon County because this is a dry county still.
Oh, is it still? I'm sorry.
Yep, not just American Legions and VFWs and those kind of affiliations.
Okay.
But I don't know, is there a Pearl Street?
A Pearl Street?
Yep.
There is a Pearl Street, but I don't think that's the winner, though. No. Sorry, okay. Ben. Sorry, Barry. Dan's on the line from Casanova.
Hello.
Hey, Dan.
Hi. What was the question again?
Yeah, the street that has the most bars per mile of any street anywhere. Could be around here.
It's in La Crosse.
Yeah. Is there a number?
River Street.
Like a number you might associate with it?
Like,
between one and three?
Yeah, like 2nd Street.
No, Dan, no.
What?
What? 2nd Street, you're going to find nothing. No, I'm sorry, Dan. You know, I can lead you there, but I can't make you drink. okay, Mike, you're in Coon Valley. You should know this.
You bet I do. Yeah. 3rd Street.
3rd Street!
Oh! Oh! Oh, no, better not.
Okay. Mike, are you single?
No, I actually met my wife on 3rd Street.
Oh. That's a good basis, don't you think? Because then you have something in common, and, you know.
I was
good.
There last night.
You were? Oh, you were? Yeah. Yeah. Working the crowd? Did people know you were there? Or do you get sullen when you drink?
Don't wait down?
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. Mike, this is AJ.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing, AJ?
Good.
And you're Mike. You know that. The two of you right now are a team, okay?
Okay.
All right.
A little enthusiasm, please, from Mike. Be nice. So, okay, then what do we got there?
Categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Mike, you pick the first one. What would you like?
I'll go science.
Science it is. Okay. How well the male sparrow feathers the nest determines one of the following. Is it A, what attention the female will show him, B, the number of eggs the female lays, or C, how desirable his traits are?
Let's see.
Talk it over now.
I'd probably say A.
What attention the female will show him?
Yeah, what attention the female would show him.
What does he do with the nest? It's better.
He feathers it.
Mm-hmm. Can you read them again?
Yes. What attention female shows him, number of eggs the female lays, or how desirable his traits are?
A. I think, Mike, A.
He said A?
Yeah, I said A.
No, I'm sorry. It's B, the number of eggs the female lays.
Directly. Oh, how do they know that?
Oh, how do they know that? What do you mean by that?
They don't get the eggs till after they mate.
There's no way of knowing. We have biopsychologists who know that for a fact in the audience.
Did we just lose?
No, you didn't.
Sadly, that is 0 right and 1 wrong.
Okay, what's left there, Sarah?
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
You'll bounce back, AJ. I know you.
People, please. People.
Now, see, you're going down.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're getting.
We're losing.
You're getting, oh, God, you're so. People? Okay. Hang in there. I don't want to lose you. Percentage of people in La Crosse who would rather take out the trash than take their meds.
No way.
Is it 37%, 47%, or 57%? People in La Crosse rather take out the trash than take their meds.
There's some crazy people around here.
Oh, no. Really? You mean, like, how close? I'm just kidding. You know that, AJ. I'm a kidder. 37, 47, or 57%?
Mike?
I would lean more towards 37.
Or 47 or 57.
Oh. But 37 sounds kind of low, so.
Yeah.
47.
47?
47?
She's thinking 47. Yes, 47% is right. Okay, good. Now we're getting somewhere. All
right. That's one right and one wrong.
Okay. What's left there, Sarah?
Current events, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Okay.
Let's go school.
School? Okay. Back to school. Nathan Myrick, explain.
Nathan Myrick?
Nathan Myrick, explain. Yes. AJ, go ahead.
You mean do it in Myrick Park?
Yeah. The Myrick Hickson Park. There used to be, I used to go when I was little, and there was like this tugboat thing that you put a quarter in and you'd go around. Oh. And they had groundhogs, and it was Monkey Island. There's monkeys on an island.
Okay, we'll accept that. Explain it. He was kind of the founder of modern day or whatever. The first trading post or whatever.
That is two right and one
wrong. Oh, very exciting. Now, what's left?
Current events, places, or odds and ends.
Okay. AJ? Current events or odds and ends?
It's a big decision.
It is, really.
Odds and ends, please.
Or current events. Nationally, the fire department of the city of La Crosse is number one, number two, or number three in extractions. That includes, building, trench, confined spaces, bluff rescue.
I hope they're number one.
Or two or three. It's pretty good, any one of them. It's for the number, you know, they're way up in the top.
Yeah, they're all good.
I know they're in the top three for extractions by a fire department.
I'll go with you, Mike. I don't understand the question.
Oh, okay.
I don't think number one is right. I'm thinking someone's got to be a little bit better. Let's try two.
Okay. A couple people might be better, though. It might be a couple apartments.
Three.
That
I'm
specialize,
feeling three.
You know, like
three.
LA probably's got all this fancy equipment and stuff. And
I agree.
Yes, three is right. Holy cow, they won the kids.
AJ, you may find wholeness with a generous certificate toward a wide variety of retreats and spiritual living programs sponsored by the Franciscan Spirituality Center on Market Street in La Crosse since 1985. Yeah. Then approach edible sainthood with a basket of cheeses, maple syrup, and honey from St. Bridget's Meadow, a certified organic farm and dairy with 36 lovely Jersey cows, along with grass-fed beef and pastured hogs, located east of La Crosse and farming gracefully since 2006. Uh-huh. Mike, you've won a trip across the border into Minnesota, where you can connect to great art inspired by water with a pair of passes to the Minnesota Marine Art Museum in Winona, along with a handsome catalog of their collections. And then hit the books with a set of titles from the D.B. Reinhardt Institute for Ethics and Leadership at Viterbo University, helping people to develop leadership abilities to further the common good in communities and organizations. Congratulations to you both.
Congratulations, AJ! Thank you very much. Mike, hang on for a sec. We'll make sure you get that stuff. Thanks for playing. It's food and drink time, ladies and gentlemen. We've got Gary Rudy from Rudy's Drive-In, famous for 70 years down. And Joe Kachever from the Pearl Street Brewery. Oh, here's the hot dog. Where's Gary? Hi.
What do you know?
How are you?
Good.
What'd you do with Gary Rudy? Wasn't he here, too?
I think so.
Okay. Well, fine. We'll find him in a minute here. Because I got the Rudy dog here.
Could there be two of us?
The chili dog and stuff. And where are the glasses is the main question I have for you. What is this and where are the glasses?
That's root beer. And the glasses in back.
Oh, okay. So are you Gary Rudy?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. There you are, Gary Rudy. I thought you were the guy from the... Oh, sit down. That's right. You're big. Sit down. Oh, Gary. How many generations of Rudy are there then?
Third generation. Grandpa Rudy started this in 1933.
Yeah.
Then my father, then me. So that'd be three, right?
And this is... Yes. Depending on how... If you're counting backwards, it's less than that.
Or it'd be one.
And this is this the invention of the of Rudy's?
World famous.
Yeah. What makes it so... I mean, what about makes it world famous?
Because I wouldn't tell a lie. And we've been doing this for 80 years.
But I mean, your great-grandfather?
Grandfather.
Your grandfather.
Do I look that old?
Yes. I mean, did he come? Where did he come from, first of all? The original Rudy.
You're setting me up here.
No, I'm not.
No.
You're a little suspicious.
Germany. Well, I've been watching the show.
Okay. It's a radio show. What's the point? Did he come right from Germany to immigrate?
It would be his father came actually from Germany.
Okay.
And they settled in Almond Fountain City, which is just north of here.
Yeah.
And then they ended up in La Crosse.
Here's the beer. Here's the beer, too. Is he here, too?
Yes, he is.
Where's Joe? Let's bring Joe on, too, and get another chair here. You know Joe? You know Joe? Get your bird. Come on, Joe. Come on out here. You drink? Okay, have one. It'll go a lot easier once we start drinking, I think. How you doing?
Great. It's great to be here, Michael.
Yeah, and did you start your brewery with your dad?
Yes.
That's cool.
And my dad is also the person that turned me on to your show about a long time ago.
Yeah.
I was in college then, and of course I was like, whatever. But I've grown to, listen to the show quite often.
So yeah.
It's great to be here.
But how did you get to be a brewmaster, though? Because you didn't take that in school or something, did you?
I did.
At UWM?
No, I did go to UW Milwaukee, yeah. but there's two ways you can become a brewmaster. One is you go to school for a long time and get hired by a brewery that needs a brewmaster, which a brewery is a beer factory, So if you think of it in those terms, it's like the plant operator is what the brewmaster is. And
man, a dog and a brew. This is really good.
Not bad. Yeah. Or the other way is to start your own brewery, and then you can just be the brewmaster. So that's what I did.
But how do you, are these like your own formulas?
Yes.
Like this, Rubber Mills?
The Rubber Mills Pills, yeah.
Pills.
Yeah, yep.
What's in that?
Barley and hops and water.
Yeah. Oh, no, we're out of time. Can we just drink these anyway?
Yes.
Here's to you. Rudy, father.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Technical director Tom Blaine with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Cole.
PRI, Public Radio International.